for those who don't know my name, my name is Prema Manjari Devidasi.
Prema?
Prema Manjari Devidasi.
Prema Manjari, oh, Manjari is one of the closest associates of Radharani.
And I am disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj.
What? Radha?
Radhana Swami.
Okay.
And I am going to be sharing whatever I heard from Guru Maharaj and other devotees.
Okay.
Nothing of my own. I hope I do not commit any mistakes when I am trying to share whatever I heard. And I pray the lotus feet of all the simple Vaishnavas that it please bless me, that I can represent Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj properly. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha
Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabhari Vardhari
senior disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj.
Oh, Radhanath.
Yeah, so she is a doctor by profession.
Okay.
And she came here for a brief stint for a fellowship.
Doctor, you meant allopathic doctor or homeopathic doctor?
Allopathic.
MD?
I had an MD, correct.
From Singapore. Yes. Very good.
Yeah, so she is serving in Singapore, but she was serving in Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Mumbai.
Mumbai.
And then she moved to Singapore.
That is also there, you know, Mumbai, you know, that is called temple, you know.
Yes.
So he's also a doctor.
Okay.
Bombay, you know, that...
Rohini Prabhu. He is a brahmachari, he's not actually serving as a doctor.
Okay.
He's a qualified doctor. Mataji is actually here for like till July, June, yes. July, this next year, 2014.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so she will go back to Singapore. And so that's what I invited her so that we will
get. So you just were interested in Bhagavad Gita, or you are interested in. What is the main field you feel? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. What is your specialty?
My specialty is just servant of servant Prabhu.
No, the person is proficient, just as MD people are proficient in something, you know. Some people are, you know, heart or rheumatism, but there are many things involved, you know. I think you are a doctor, you know everything. This is just indication. So which specialty part of bhakti you specialize?
Generally, I speak from Bhagavad Gita.
So you know Sanskrit?
I know a little bit from
it. Okay, it's a pleasure.
So, Chitri Sahib, from 5th chapter, 5th shloka, kindly repeat after me. Yat Sankhe Prapyate Sthanam, Tad Yoge Apigamyate, Tad Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha, यह पश्यति स पश्यति यत् सांख्ये प्राप्यते स्थानम् तद्योगे अपि गम्यते एकं सांख्यं च योगं च यह पश्यति स पश्यति यत् सांख्ये प्राप्यते स्थानम् तद्योगे अपि गम्यते एकं सांख्यं च योगं च यह पश्यति स पश्यति
सांख्ये प्राप्यते स्थानम्
तद्योगेरपि गम्यते एकं सांख्यं च योगं च यः पश्यति स पश्यति यत् सांख्ये प्राप्यते स्थानम् तद्योगेरपि गम्यते एकं सांख्यं च योगं च यः पश्यति स पश्यति
So I think if I speak, so please try to hear and then we'll speak together.
Okay.
Actually, this is just like this. Yat sankhe prapyate sthanam, tad it is yogair, it is just sandhi. Otherwise, tad yogai api sam gamyate. It is just like this, okay? So, ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha ya pashati cha pashati. So actually, that R is just combination, you know, should say. So that is Itad Yogai Api. Okay. That is the way. Okay?
Yes.
So please go ahead.
Thank you.
Yes, Sankhe Prapyate Sthanam.
Yes, Sankhe Prapyate Sthanam.
Tad Yoge Api Gamyate.
Tad Yoge Api Gamyate. Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha. यह पश्यति स पश्यति ओके ट्रांसलेशन यत व्हाट संख्ये बाय मींस ऑफ संख्या फिलोसॉफी प्राप्यते इज अचीव्ड स्थानम प्लेस तत दैट योगे बाय डिवोशनल सर्विस अपि आल्सो Gamyate, one can attain Ekam, one Sankhyam, analytical study, Cha, and Yogam, action in devotion, Cha, and Yaha, one who Pashyati, sees, Saha, he, Pashyati, actually sees. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be one on the same level, sees things as they are. The real purpose of philosophical research is to find the ultimate goal of life. Since the ultimate goal of life is self-realization, there is no difference between the conclusions reached by the two processes. By Sankhya philosophical research, one comes to the conclusion that a living entity is not a part and parcel of the material world, but of the Supreme Spirit whole. Consequently, the spirit soul has nothing to do with the material world. His actions must be in some relation with the Supreme. When he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is actually in his constitutional position. In the first process, Sankhya, one has to become detached from matter, and in devotional yoga process, one has to attach himself to the work of Krishna consciousness. Factually, both processes are the same, although superficially one process appears to involve detachment and the other process appears to involve attachment. Detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna are one and the same. One who can see these things as they are. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Adhyanati Virandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Mulitamena Dasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakabalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rajunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्रीराधा कांत नमोस्तुते ताप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्प तरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे So I'm just going to share something on this yoga course for some time, and then maybe because Prabhu asked me that we celebrated Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day very recently, we'll share something about Srila Prabhupada as a gratitude to our spiritual master. So as we read in this translation, one who works in devotion, one who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. Here, the word analytical study refers to Jnana Yoga, basically Sankhya philosophy, what Prabhupada is using in the purport. And Sankhya philosophy is also a word which is used for Jnana Yoga. In this beginning chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, when he is talking to Arjuna, he gives him detailed knowledge about the different types of yogas. As we know, that third chapter is about Karma Yoga. Then he goes over to the transcendental knowledge, that is Jnana Yoga. And here, while giving the knowledge about Jnana Yoga, Krishna is telling Arjuna that goal of life, whether we take any other process, or any of the four yogic process, is finally to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are four different types of yogas, starting from Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, or Ashtanga Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. And many times we see this misconception in people around. We see them, you know, like they will say, oh, you are Jnana Yogi, I am a Karma Yogi, I am a Bhakti Yogi. But what Krishna makes very clear here, that this is not different processes. And that's why it is called as Yoga Ladder. It's not different processes.
Ashtanga Yoga belongs to Patanjali.
Correct.
Yes. So Patanjali, he says, Niyam, you know.
It is Niyama, Niyama, Pranayam, Asana, Pranayam. Yes. Pranayam, Asana, Pratyahara, Dharma, Dhyana, Samadhi.
But still, you know, even at the end, you know, he says that he is mostly analytical. So Prabhupada, what he really emphasizes is devotion to Lord Krishna.
Correct.
You see? So in that way, you know, there was some lacking there. You can say technically, there was some lacuna, you know, just like this.
Okay,
so that is why, you know, this devotional service is considered better than that. I don't say bad, you know, just better. It's not a good, I don't say anything bad, you know, because that's the realistic service.
Thank you. It's what Krishna is mentioning here, and which is also mentioned, that it is yoga ladder. So from one part of the yoga, we move on to the next. But final goal, as you sir correctly said, is Bhakti Yoga. And it is also described instead of taking different steps, if an intelligent person takes Buddhi Yoga or a devotional process, it is taking like taking an elevator, directly taking an elevator to reach the highest goal of life. So Krishna is making very clear in this that though it appears to be different, but it's basically same, because the final goal of either it is Jnana Yoga or either it is Bhakti Yoga, the final goal is reaching Krishna. How? When we go ahead, it is described that Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanava Mam Prapanjate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabhaha. When a person is doing analytical studies of Vedas or Vedanta Sutras or Puranas, it is like dissecting into the knowledge, finally to come to the conclusion that Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. And when a person realizes this knowledge, may it be Jnana Yoga, what happens? He finally surrenders and comes to the process of devotional service. So other processes also are finally going to lead to devotional service. But we are very fortunate that Prabhupada has given us this devotional service very easily to us. In Hatha Yoga also, it is described in 6th chapter that there are a lot of different processes, as Prabhu was saying. There are Ashtanga Yoga, there are 8 different angas of this Ashtanga Yoga. But when one completely reaches the final destination of Samadhi, Krishna describes in 6th chapter, that when a yogi who has completely perfected the process and finally when he leaves this body, concentrating or meditating on his super soul or Paramatma inside, closing all 9 gates of the body, he can achieve the final destination. The detail about this is given in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam describes that though the final destination is same, there is little difference between the final destination. And what is that? The final supreme absolute truth, Krishna, has 3 features. And what are these 3 features? Sat, Chit, Ananda. He is realized in 3 different ways as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And when a jnani goes through the process of knowledge, there is a chance, or there is very large chance, that he goes up to the final realization ending at Sat Swarup or Sat feature or Brahman realization. Just because he is so much confused into this details of analytical study, that to receive the personal feature of Lord is not very easy. The example is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Jnani also gets to see fundamental situation because of Ega Bhakti, exclusive situation with Lord Krishna. So Jnani also, he can take, you see, the fundamental situation. This is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. You might have, this is a very famous note, Ega Bhakti Vishishya. You might have heard it.
Yes, and we have seen this example in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in contact with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a priest or guru of King Prahlada. He was one of the most scholarly person and acharya or teacher of Vedanta philosophy. He was so famous and so knowledgeable that he was teacher of King Pratapudra himself. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him, and when he saw that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just singing and dancing and falling unconscious when he had darshan of Lord Jagannath, Sarvam Bhattacharya took him to his house and he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are a sannyasi. Why you are wasting your life just in singing and dancing like an emotional madman? You come, if you want, I will teach you Vedanta philosophy. I am a big scholar. I have all the gyan of all the philosophy. I can give you this knowledge and then you will not become a sentimentalist. And then if you want, I will also give you initiation in Saraswati. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, he was so humble. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so be it. Let me learn from you. And this Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
for 7 days, no?
Listened from Sarvam Bhattacharya for 7 days.
Yes.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not speak a single word for 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, Sarvam Bhattacharya was confused. Is he accepting? Is he understanding? Or there is some confusion? Why is he not speaking? And when he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so are you understanding? What do you feel? Whatever I have taught you, I have given the best of knowledge. What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say?
He put some question actually. So,
what he said actually,
because you know, he did not know actually whether he is understanding or not understanding. Then you see, there were some questions on behalf from that person, you know, and he was just, when he began to answer them, there were 64 answers for that, you know.
Correct.
And then he was really, we should say, it was insurmountable for him, you know.
Correct.
He just fell at his feet, you know, and then
yes.
All this.
And before that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a very nice comment.
See, this is what is
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that Vedanta philosophy is like a bright sun, it's like a bright sun, and your explanation is like a dark cloud which is covering this sun. And then, as Prabhu very nicely explained, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke, and immediately Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya realized that whom I was thinking as an emotional, sentimental sannyasi is a great personality. And then, a jnani, a scholar of Vedanta philosophy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, fell humbly at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and took his shelter, understanding that this person is no other than Lord himself. So, what the conclusion is that jnana, there is very high chance that when a person goes into jnana yoga, can get confused, and even after understanding so much of philosophy, very easily one can get diverted to Mayavad philosophy or impersonalism. But bhakti is that rare commodity which is very, very rarely achieved.
Madam, you know, just heart sugar you just mentioned.
Yes.
Because
this chapter and this shloka is more about jnana yoga.
Okay.
So we will go from there.
Okay.
And then he's talking about devotional service.
Okay.
What I want to say is that in Nectar of Devotion, fourth chapter, Sri Rupa Goswami describes six major characteristics of pure devotional service. Anybody wants to say any out of the six? Rupa Goswami says there are six characteristics of pure devotional service. First, pure devotional service immediately stops material distress. Secondly, it is all auspicious. As soon as one comes in touch of pure devotional service, everything becomes auspicious. Third, it is very, very rarely achieved. Why? In the description, in the same chapter, Rupa Goswami describes, and Rupa gives a long explanation, that Lord does not give pure devotional service or bhakti immediately to anybody. Because when Lord gives bhakti or pure devotional service, he gives himself, becomes servant. And that is why the fourth quality of pure devotional service is that even mukti or liberation is derided by a bhakta. And mukti stands, as Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, with folded hands at the doorstep of a devotee asking for service. And devotee says, I don't care for mukti. So the devotional service or pure devotional service is really a rare thing which can be achieved. It's not easy to achieve. But in our life, we came in touch of this pure devotional service because of a great compassionate soul called Srila Prabhupada. We all know that last week on 7th, just a few days ago, we celebrated Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. In 1977, Srila Prabhupada left or departed for the spiritual world. But at this time, I would like to quote Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die. When thou art still living in sound, the Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread a holy life around. Is not this every single word of this Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying is applicable to Srila Prabhupada? Thou art still living in sound. They do not die. Even when they leave this body, they are still, they live in their sound, and while living, they always try to spread the holy life around. Srila Prabhupada, though, came on such just like an ordinary human being. He was just moving around others. Few years ago, in streets of New York, trying to give Krishna consciousness to others, struggling alone. And then we know that hundreds and thousands of people got this mercy because of a vast ocean of compassion which was constantly flowing from Srila Prabhupada's heart.
Yes, yes, good enough.
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he once at a place called Amraghat, you know that Amraghat is in very close to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house in Godhruvan Dweep. When he was with his associates, once he told that I have brought these fruits of Krishna Prem to distribute freely in this world without any discrimination. But how many fruits I can distribute? Please come and take these fruits and help me to distribute to every single person. And whoever will help me doing this will be my life and soul. This was the mode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sri Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was shedding the tears of joy looking at compassion of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Just because he delivered Jagai Madai, Srila Prabhupada delivered hundreds and thousands of Jagai Madai, including us. How happy Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be, and how many tears of joy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be shedding, seeing the glorious acts of this great soul, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's glories are unlimited. And to think, even to talk about part of his glory, is like a dwarf who is trying to touch moon, which is never going to be possible. The glories of a pure devotee can never be understood. But we still make an humble, small miniature attempt for our purification. Because when we glorify the pure devotees, we please Krishna. And that is why today we will talk a little bit about the glories of Srila Prabhupada, which are unlimited, which is beyond our imaginations, and which are beyond our even speaking or thinking. Srila Prabhupada, we all know that he was an empowered soul. And Prabhupada's first disciple, anybody knows his name? Prabhupada had only one disciple before he left for going to America. And his name was Acharya Prabhakar Mishra. He was a PhD scholar in Sanskrit, and he was also in Bengal, Calcutta, and he was his first disciple. And when he was introduced, he was interviewed in 1970 by one of the devotees, Bhurishara Das, because Sasuru Maharaj was going to write Prabhupada Lilamrut. So he went and talked to this Prabhupada's first disciple, and that time he mentioned a very amazing pastime of Srila Prabhupada. He describes that in 1954 in Jhansi, it was 1 o'clock at night after Janmashtami. Everybody had gone to take a rest. And suddenly, this disciple, Prabhakar Mishra, hears one very loud chanting of Hare Krishna from Prabhupada. And he gets up and he goes to the temple hall. And what did he see? He saw that Prabhupada was ecstatically chanting. Loudly, he was playing mridangam. He was chanting and dancing throughout the hall in front of the Lord. And he was wearing a huge long garland of kadamba flowers, which was going all the way to his feet. He was surprised. What is making Srila Prabhupada so ecstatic at this time? And from where did these kadamba flowers came? These kadamba flowers are not common in Calcutta, especially not in their season. And he described that even if they were available rarely, the size of the flowers is different. And this was nice, huge flowers. And the fragrance of this kadamba flowers was filling up the entire environment. He asked Srila Prabhupada, what happened? From where did you get this garland? Srila Prabhupada didn't say anything. He continued doing his kirtan. Next day, he again went to Srila Prabhupada. I want to know, from where did you get that garland? It was so fragrant. It was so different. And Srila Prabhupada, with tears in his eyes, he said, when I was singing and chanting in ecstasy with some love for Krishna, Krishna appeared in front of me and he gave me this garland. And when I tried to touch his feet, he disappeared. And that gave me ecstatic love and that made me go mad. Srila Prabhupada moved around us just like an ordinary person. He cooked for his disciples. He gave his life. It is described that Srila Prabhupada would keep himself awake throughout night, writing books for his disciples, for showering this mercy on the entire world. But he was not an ordinary person. When he went to this Western world, he was trying to talk to people about Krishna. Who is Krishna? They didn't know who is Krishna.
Yeah.
And he started teaching them about Krishna. He started teaching them about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But that was not difficult. If anybody has to teach about Krishna, you can talk. But these disciples or these people were so ignorant, they did not know who is Guru. They did not know what is an etiquette to behave with a Guru. And Prabhupada had to teach them not only about Krishna, but he had to teach him what is the importance of Guru, how to respect Guru, how they should pay obeisances to his Guru, to their Guru, how they should do Prabhupada's Guru Puja. Is this easy? To talk about Krishna is still easy. But to teach your own disciples, to teach them how to respect Guru, how to do his Vyas Puja, must be such an embarrassing situation for Srila Prabhupada. But he did that to give us a perfect parampara knowledge. It was not easy. If you read Mukunda Maharaj's book, Miracle on 22nd Avenue, when I read one part, we start crying.
Which one?
Miracle on 22nd Avenue by Mukunda Maharaj. This is in around 1966. Prabhupada had just started the movement in 1965 in New York. And his first visit was to San Francisco. The six main disciples had started a first extension or the second center in San Francisco. Srila Prabhupada came there. And when he was in his room, Mukunda Prabhu that time, now who is Mukunda Maharaj, Mukunda Prabhu went to Srila Prabhupada and asked him, Srila Prabhupada, you are not keeping well and we are just few of us. What happens if you will die? What should we do? And who will be the higher or who will heritage whatever little bit? Anyhow, it was just 1 year. ISKCON was not a big thing by that time. And his disciple is asking, Srila Prabhupada, you may die anytime. And what do you think? What should we do? what will be the position of Srila Prabhupada when he just has few handful of people, just 1 year of ISKCON, and your disciples are so ignorant that they are asking you, Guru Maharaj, what do you expect from us? Guru Maharaj is writing that at that time, Srila Prabhupada became silent for a while, and then he became very grave. With tears in his eyes, he just said one thing, I never feel my spiritual master has ever left me. I feel my spiritual master is always with me. And this is how he taught these ignorant disciples how to treat spiritual master. He taught them not only how to worship Krishna, how to cook, how to wear sari, how to make dough, everything Srila Prabhupada taught them. How to do bargaining for lands, for everything, Srila Prabhupada had to teach them. It was not an easy task. Srila Prabhupada had immense faith in the words of scripture. This is before the time when Srila Prabhupada had actually taken sannyas. He was a gruhastha. Once he was visiting Bombay for his business, and he met some of his godfathers in Bombay. They had their small center, and on the terrace, all of them were sitting, and they were discussing one shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that shloka was actually Chaitanya Bhagavata. Prithivete Ityadi Nagarantigram Sarvatra Prachar Hoyve Varanam. So when the disciples, his godbrothers, are sitting and talking, they are trying to analyze Sarvatra Prachar Hoyve Varanam. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that my name will be sung in every town and village. What did he mean by that? How is it going to happen in every town and village of the world? Is it possible? And then when all are contemplating, Srila Prabhupada is also there, and they all are saying, maybe he meant some part of India, because that time they were thinking maybe only in Bengal. No, no, probably in some part of India. And that is how they are contemplating, that it cannot be around the world. How is it possible? It is this message going around the world is not possible. And when they are talking like this, Srila Prabhupada got up. And he said, what right do we have to understand the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu according to our limited understanding? When he said, it is around the world, it means around the world. Everywhere in the universe. And immediately the godfather said, how is it possible? Who will do this? And what did Srila Prabhupada, that time his name was Abhay Charan Babu. Abhay Babu, they would call him. Mm-hmm. What did Abhay Babu told? He just looked at them and he said, at least none of you. And he went away. Because when you do not have faith in the words of Lord, what can you go and preach to the world? Because he had intense faith that this word of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that my name will be sung in every nook and corner, it will happen. He never felt that he is going to be an instrument, but he had deep faith. And that is why he was the one who was chosen to do this task. It was definitely not easy, but he was chosen. In spite of so many miraculous Herculean tasks which he did, we all know that in 12 years of his last life, he went around the world 14 times. And he opened more than 100 temples and thousands of disciples. But he was actually a sthita prajna. He was dhira in real terms. Success did not elate him. Nor did so-called failure ever discourage Srila Prabhupada. Once in San Francisco, when Srila Prabhupada's disciples, early days, very few of them, they said, Srila Prabhupada, we are going to have a big program. And then they arranged a huge program. Srila Prabhupada went there. And how many people were there? Five. And at the end of the program, Srila Prabhupada gave class as if he was talking to 1,000 people. And at the end, they went, Prabhupada, we are really sorry. We told you that there will be hundreds and thousands of people. They had already expected in thousands, and there were only five. Rupa said, no, did not you see? There was Brahma, there was Shiva, there was Narada. Prabhupada did not reduce his enthusiasm to speak whether there were 10,000 people or whether there were five. He was never elated or discouraged. Once, he was giving class and he was talking on Varnashram system. And while talking about Varnashram system, when he told that there are four different Varnas, there is Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra and Kshatriya, and how he described that in Kali Yuga, everybody is born Shudra. And at the end of the class, one person got up and very arrogantly pointed at Srila Prabhupada. What do you think, Swamiji, you are? You belong to which class? And Srila Prabhupada became very silent and grave. And he said, I am the fifth class. I am the servant of all four classes. This is humility of Srila Prabhupada. After having so much of success, he never became proud. He always gave glories to his disciples and his Guru Maharaj. Once, Srila Jayadvaita Swami was telling Srila Prabhupada, so many books are distributed in this part, and we started this temple. And Prabhupada was just smiling. And he said, actually, all of you are doing so much of things. I'm an old person. What am I doing? I'm just sitting. And all the work is getting done by all of you. So Jayadvaita Swami said, so Prabhupada said, so what is my glory? It's nothing my glory. Srila Prabhupada, Jayadvaita Swami told Srila Prabhupada that you are just like Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is lying in Shirodakshayi Vishnu, in Shirodakshayi ocean, and just by his desires, the things are created. And just like that, you are so empowered that by your desires, the temples and devotees are springing in every part of the world. We are so lucky that we have got association of Srila Prabhupada's instructions in the form of his books, his vani, and his disciples. In his last visit to New Vrindavan, when Prabhupada visited New Vrindavan, they were trying to make a huge monument, and they called it Palace of Gold. And when Srila Prabhupada went there, they said that Prabhupada, we have built so many temples around the world, but this one we have built for you. This is our gift to our spiritual master. And Prabhupada had tears in his eyes. He said, now I am convinced that you all have understood the Gaudiya philosophy of Das, Dasanudas. And one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada said that we wanted to make this palace of gold just like heavenly abode. But in the heaven, the palace is not illuminated by electricity or light. They get illuminated by gems, by diamonds, by ruby. What do we get, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, my disciples and my devotees are real jewels. I do not need any extra jewels. They are not only enlightening my life, but they will enlighten the whole world. This was the love of Srila Prabhupada. He is like a son who indiscriminately was showering his mercy all around on every single soul. And his disciples, his genuine followers, are like moons. There are many, 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 many moons around us who have taken the Srila Prabhupada's energy. They are reflecting like moon the energy which they received from sun to all of us. And that is our fortune that we got this rare opportunity of getting pure devotional service, which is so rare because of mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Full throughout life, it is said that those who are in this process, those who are around, but if they do not come in contact with a pure devotee, then that person is unfortunate. But then it is said that those who come in touch of these pure devotees but do not take the whole advantage to make our life perfect, that person is most unfortunate. Let us not become this most unfortunate. By causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, we have no qualifications. Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj gives us qualifications. Because of them, we have come in touch with Krishna consciousness, which is so very rare. Hundreds and thousands of people are walking around the street, not knowing that there is a temple of Krishna just in this lane. We have got this opportunity of this knowledge, which is completely causeless by mercy of Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. He built a house where whole world can really live in. He has opened this Namahattas in every corner of the world. And we are those fortunate souls picked up because of His mercy that we have got come in touch with devotees. Let us not go into procrastination. All of us have life which is so busy. As child, we wanted to finish up our studies, become graduates, get degree, get job. We can do this later also when we become old. When we become young, I have my family, I have my job, I have to raise my children. I will do devotion little more seriously, but little later. The life will go away. The life will go away like this, and procrastination is one of the most dangerous parts in devotee's life. I am also one of you. But let us remind each other that we can never be sure what we are going to be live up to. Never postpone, never make Krishna consciousness a second priority of life. We have this, so many priorities, and Krishna consciousness. We have to do everything, but let us make it like this. Krishna consciousness and this. Let us make Krishna consciousness as our first priority. Srila Prabhupada is captain of our boat. Very mercifully, he has made this boat, which is so huge, and he has included all of us inside. It is our first duty, janma sarthak kari, and then karapara upakara. This life, Srila Prabhupada used to say, something at lighter note. Once one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, that you all are always chanting and saying Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. What at the end of life you come to know, there is no Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, what is the loss? We are chanting, dancing, feasting, having fun. So even at the end of the life, if we come to know there is no Krishna, there is no loss, because we are happily enjoying life. But you all, who are not even bothering about Lord and wasting your life, thinking that you are enjoying your life, not doing anything for your spirituality, at end of life, what if you come to know that there is Krishna? So Krishna, Srila Prabhupada was ever inclusive. He never excluded everybody. Even if there is a possibility there is no Krishna, there is no loss taking Krishna consciousness. There is nobody, even an atheist, can say that I cannot become Krishna conscious. He is that merciful Acharya who has given his life for us, for delivering us. He wrote his books, keeping awake at night for us. He told them, when you distribute my books, I will be very happy. So everybody goes out, December marathon is coming out. Yes, we must distribute the books. No doubt, we have to share this knowledge. But my dear brothers and sisters, first duty is to read this book. Apply this knowledge in our life. We have to preach. But preach by examples first. When we will preach by our life, that will please Srila Prabhupada. What will please Srila Prabhupada the most? What will please Srila Gurudev the most? When we will purify our life and finally go back to Krishna. One Srila Prabhupada, one of the disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, will we come back? Spiritual world is three times bigger than this material world, which itself is so big. Spiritual world will be so big. But when we come back, we want to be with you, Prabhupada. We don't want to get lost in spiritual world. How will we find you? And what did Srila Prabhupada say? Srila Prabhupada said, you just follow what I have told you and perfect your life. When you come up, you don't look for me. I will look for you. This is Srila Prabhupada's message. And Prabhupada used to beg everyone, which message I want to share. Prabhupada said, life after life, we had given our life to Mayadevi. Give this one life to Krishna. Prabhupada used to say, give this one life to me, give this one life to Krishna. Next life, do whatever you want. Give this one life. Let us all come together and rededicate ourselves to Srila Prabhupada and to Srila Gurudev. Let us remind ourselves that Srila Prabhupada's sacrifice means a lot to us. He has given his life, and we have to reciprocate by giving this one life to him. By keeping Krishna as our first priority, cannot be second. It has to be first. He is the captain of our ship. Let us remain in this boat. Maya is very strong. We can never ever take Maya for granted. If we think, I'm here for 20 years in Krishna consciousness, now I have no worries, first thing, you're going to go out of Krishna consciousness. Maya can pull us out anytime. And that is why what is required is remain in this boat of ISKCON, remain in this boat of Srila Prabhupada, holding each other's hand. When we all are holding each other's hand, tell each other, I don't know when my mind will get disturbed and when I will try to get off this boat. Prabhu, Mataji, please hold me if any time you see me getting off this boat. And we are only hope for each other. At the end of the day, we have to hold each other's hand. And that will happen only when we have love and respect for each other. When we will cooperate with each other. This is what Srila Prabhupada told, his last instruction. If you really love me, cooperate with each other. Do not divide among yourself. Prabhupada said, if ISKCON will ever break, it will never be from outside forces. It will be from inside. And that thing we will do if we will break ISKCON from inside. ISKCON is Prabhupada's body. And we have to express our gratitude by our loving respect and cooperation with each other. That will be Srila Prabhupada. And that will be expression of our love to Srila Prabhupada. So today, my simple, humble request to each one of you. You all are like my God brothers and God sisters. I am no other. I am no higher, no better than any one of you. Please, please hold each other's hands. Hold me and hold each one of us. When we all are standing together, we can try and hold and get more people inside. Anytime you see any one of us living this boat, by sham, dam, danda, bhed, by slapping or explaining, don't allow others to go out. Keep them on board. And together, this ship will definitely take us back to join the Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
You've spoken quite well. That's good. That's nice. You've done it in a nice way. But, you know, we have find what you have received, you have been explaining it in a good way. What we find difficult is that we really are lacking the membership, more membership. We want more people to come. Can you just give us some solution? More people should join. More people should come and become devotees of Lord Krishna. And they should just as current wishes of Prabhupada, we should be just cooperating with each other, helping each other. That's very practical. What you have said is nice. It's okay. It's fine. It's even excellent. But then, what's the practical solution?
I can just share something, and those who want to add can always add. Prabhu is saying that we should get, definitely this Prabhupada's wish that we should have more and more people, and that is what Prabhupada said, we must preach, right? And so book distribution, talking to people, trying to get them into Krishna consciousness, sharing this knowledge is very, very important. But at the same time, the first thing, I'll just give you a simple example or an analogy, okay? I'm not sure if any one of you are aware of Kabaddi game. No? You know Kabaddi game?
Kabaddi game.
Right. So, I have Kabaddi when there are two parties. One person goes to the other party and he has to go and keep on touching the person, dragging him to the line. But one important thing, the person who has gone has to continuously say Kabaddi, 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 Kabaddi,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And that is taking your breath. As soon as you want to take breath in, you have to stop. Right? A person who is weak, when he goes to the opposite party and tries to catch 1, 2, 3, let me try, kabaddi, and then I have to pull them to that line. If I am weak, they are going to catch hold of me. And when I cannot continue my breath, what happens? You lose. You become yourself, become out. Okay? Compared to this, a person who is very stout, we had one person like that in our school. Obviously, we were girls, we would always see this person. But when this kabaddi game will happen, we would always go and watch. Because one person was so huge. If you have seen Brahmananda Prabhu, you know, like that type of Gargamuni and Brahmananda. Very stout, very big. He would go like this. He would say, kabaddi, 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 like that. And people would try to grab him. And they would think that 10 people together will cling on to him, trying to pull him back. And as soon as he would say, everybody is now holding on to me, he would kabaddi, 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 and he would come and touch the line. And if he touches the line, whoever is holding on to him, they all get out. The message is, when you are strong like this person, you can go out in the material world, catch a lot of people and bring them.